Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to subscribe to us on YouTube so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and save 15% by using code FIGHTINSIGHT15. On today's episode, we talk to the king of the UFC jungle. We break down the massive UFC 274 card and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it.
Not going to hit it. I do want to say one quick thing to the fans, viewers, and listeners before we start. This is an interview that we recorded last week. So we're going to cut to it now. That's why you'll see us kind of change in appearance and background. Then you're going to cut back to us live now, and that's what we're going to do. So here we go with the Jordan Levitt interview, which was recorded last week. Thank you very much to Jordan Levitt. Yeah, it's Timmy B, Princey D, Fight Insight. Yeah, that's right. Our guest today is a Dana White's Contender Series alumni. He's got a kill death ratio of 10 to 1 with a 3-1 record in the UFC. He's on a 2-fight winning streak, just coming off an impressive unanimous decision victory a few weeks ago at UFC Belal versus Luque. The guy, he's so interesting, man. So happy to have him on the podcast. He's a fighter, a husband, a father, a dancer, an intellectual, a book reviewer, a meme king. The guy does it all, ladies and gentlemen. He's known as one of the nicest guys in MMA, and he's coming to us from Las Vegas. Please welcome
Jordan, the Monkey King Levitt.
How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Not bad, buddy. Good to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
And before we started, you said that your stitches are just coming out. That's why you're nice and bearded up for the podcast. How are you feeling? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm feeling rugged and manly and ready to get back out there. I'm pretty pumped. Like, a week of not working out is nice, but also I'm like antsy.
Nice,
Jordan,
nice.
You know what? Just for us up here in Toronto, how's the weather down there in Vegas?
It is right now, it's like 96. But, you know, in my car, it's probably like 100 and something. It's getting a little toasty here, finally.
Well, Jordan, it's snowing here in Toronto, Canada. So, you know, we're having problems.
Man, I quit. This is brutal.
It snowed once here in 2006. It was a really big deal. We got 2 inches. It canceled everything.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. Jordan, we asked the fans for questions on the podcast. And with you, we got a lot of just love. Like, I've never had this before from fans, but Big Kid 6 just types in, "I just wanted to say that you are loved." So people are saying thanks, love. Man. Yeah. Congratulations on all your successes, Jordan. What are you most proud of?
Being a dad. Like, nice. For congratulations. Sure. Like, I wanted to be a UFC fighter like the past 10 years. I wanted to be a dad like my entire life.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, I didn't have a dad. My mom raised me on her own, and I always knew I kind of wanted to have my own kid, and I wanted to be good at that, mm-hmm. even though she's only like 15 months. Like, it, you know, I think I'm doing well with that, and that's kind of what I've always wanted to do. So definitely being a dad, and then being a pretty decent husband, and then probably being a UFC fighter, and then everything else kind of is like very, like, far and away 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th place. But those are the 3 things I'm most proud of.
Nice. Well, we messaged your wife and we asked her to rank you as being a good husband. And here's what she had to say. No. Just Jordan DV Sheldon says, "You're weird in a wonderful way. Don't stop." I mean, I feel like a lot of people, you know, and we got lots of comments about that. I think you're a very unique individual. You're not the typical fighter look or the fighter attitude. There was a video I saw where Forrest Griffin says, "The guy looks like a male cheerleader," which if you watch Cheer on Netflix, those guys are badass. So that's, I mean, I don't know. That's a bit of a compliment. But Jordan, how do you maintain you? How do you maintain being the unique individual you are?
I think I had like a bit of, like, a psychotic break when I went from like my private school, middle school to high school. Mm-hmm. I went from being like one of like 12 kids my age to like go into a public high school and like having not being sheltered at all, and I had this big culture shock. And so basically I was really like introverted for like 2.5 years, like my first little bit of high school. Like I would eat alone in the hallway and I didn't have too many friends. And then like I had an epiphany probably like my junior year of high school where I was just like, I'm imagining all this pressure. Like this pressure isn't real. I'm imagining all these things, like all these negative things people think about me, or maybe I wasn't. But at that time, you know, I'm like, the person that I think that hates me the most is me. And I realized I kind of just had to have like more courage, you know, like the courage to like be disliked, the courage to kind of know that not everyone will like me, even if they get to see the real me. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it took me like when I was like 16, I kind of realized like, I can just be myself. As long as I'm happy with who I look like, who I see in the mirror, everything else should follow. And like ever since then, like I've been super happy and content, and I have like the deepest friendships and like a happy like family life, and it's all because I kind of just learned how to really love myself and to be happy of who I like see in the mirror. And as I get older, I'm getting even more comfortable in my own skin. So
it's like you yourself is your worst critic, like that, you know. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, that's amazing, Jordan. But you're such a nice guy, man. I mean, like, and you teach the children's jujitsu classes at Syndicate.
I just recently stopped because I needed more time after my baby came, and now that I have the financial burden of having to be good at fighting, you know, as opposed to just accidentally good, I actually have to try to be the best I could be. So I missed the kids, but I was teaching them for 7 years, and that was awesome.
But that's awesome, and you talk about like wanting to, you know, be in a good environment. I mean, Syndicate MMA, one of the greatest gyms, I got to say, in the world. We've interviewed several fighters at your gym, mm-hmm. Jeon Kim, Ramona Pasquale, Chris Rios. That seems like a very family-oriented, fun gym. You've been there for a long time, I think 10-plus years, right?
Yeah, it's going into my 10th year. Now that Roxy retired, I'm the longest, like, I've been there the longest of anybody else. Everyone else has either taken time off or they've been gone for a few years. But yeah, I'm now the, you know, most, I have the most seniority at Syndicate. So I've been there before we had any UFC fighters. And now I'm like the first homegrown UFC fighter from there. So yeah, nice. It's definitely my route.
That's amazing. And it looks like a great gym. You've got a great group of people around you. Being a Vegas kid and growing up in Vegas, when the UFC opens up the Performance Institute, that's huge for you, right? Like what a benefit that is for you with your training to have that facility right within grasp.
Yeah, and like even before I got to the UFC, like I would work out fighters at the UFC PI, and I got to see like these champions, and it really helped kind of like erase a lot of the mystique you have about the people you see on TV. Like they say never to meet like your idols, never meet your heroes, but like me meeting them and seeing them on a day-to-day basis, like, oh, that's just Francis, you know, like, oh, what's up, Francis, or, you know, seeing all these champions and like these goats, and I'm like, wow, they're just people. You know, I see them make mistakes. I see them, like, you know, getting tired on the treadmill. They're fat. They have all the same issues as me. And just seeing all my, you know, I guess now they're my colleagues. Seeing them on a day-to-day basis really helped, like, humanize them and make me feel comfortable. And with seeing, like, where I'm at in this whole fight game. And, yeah, the PI, I think if it wasn't for me seeing all my heroes, like, early, I probably still would have had the confidence in my fighting abilities. So.
What, Jordan, I could see you going, hey, Francis, you want me to hold pads? Do you want me to hold pads, Francis?
One thing, I got you, man.
I got you, bro. Don't worry.
Yeah. Jordan, your meme game is strong. Your Instagram is full of top quality memes. How much time are you clocking and putting that stuff up there? Because you do a good job.
You know, it's almost like... it's almost self-sustaining now, because now that I have this reputation for memes, now I have all these fans that tag me in memes. So I don't have to like search as much anymore, then like my wife really likes my memes. And now she started like finding some memes for me. And so, yeah, now I don't sew everything, you know, I kind of just get to pick and choose, you know, I'm like a connoisseur. And it's kind of nice because when I was first doing it, I was like an hour a day, easy, just looking through, you know, some niche memes. And now I'm just like a meme entrepreneur, you know. I just gather all the good ones and give them to all my fans.
Nice, nice. No, it's good. And for people that don't follow you on social media, where do they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at MonkeyKing_UFC. Right. Or I'm going to try to start using Twitter. Twitter's hard, but Mr. Jojo Monkey King on Twitter.
All right. Nice, nice. And you have, am I correct in saying you have no tattoos?
Oh, yeah. No tattoos.
What is no wrong with you, Jordan? What's wrong with you?
I'm terrified of needles, man. Like,
really?
Like, yeah. So my mom has, like, you know, several tattoos. And, like, she always talked about how much she regrets them and everything. And my sister, my older sister, who was like 5 years older than me, she got like this crooked tramp stamp as soon as she turned 18. So, like, they all just have really bad tattoos. And I'm like, my interests change all the time. And there's nothing I loved 10 years ago that I wouldn't be a little bit embarrassed to have on my body now. So maybe like when all my kids are born, I might get something like family oriented. But yeah, tattoos, nah. I like the whole, you know, the soft, not scary looking, you know, build and body type.
All right. It's very unique. I mean, you have the record for the only knockout win with no significant strikes landed. You may one day have the record for the only UFC fighter with no tattoos. It's right. Very close.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to have all the niche records, man. Like, yeah. you'll be playing like quiz up. And like I'll be a bunch of these like, you know, trivia questions like this fighter did this, this fighter did not do this. And I think it's kind of cool. I've collected all these weird stats.
But yeah. Jordan, you should pull a prank where you should just come into the ring with like a massive Hello Kitty tattoo on your back. And everyone's doing that real. You know how you can like, you know, the ones that you could just like laminate on and it looks real. Man, you should pull one of those, Jordan. I'm telling you, we would be losing it. Or even have our logo on your back. That would be great.
Oh, yeah. We'll send you that.
I'll do a Hello Kitty with, like, the Fight in Sight thing above it, you know? Like, yeah. You know, Dana, he could stop me from putting sponsors and stuff on my shorts, but my skin's my own, you know? Like, they can't stop me.
Jordan, UFC_Wizard. He's a huge fan, sent in a bunch of questions. So thank you to UFC Wizard. He says, Jordan, please follow me. So you can go follow him after, Jordan. But he does ask, what inspires the dancing? Like, if you're a quiet guy in high school and you're alone and stuff, like, I thought you were going to be, like, some crazy art guy, some crazy drama guy. Yeah, what inspires the dancing?
One of my regrets is that I didn't do any of, like, the weird kid things. Because, like, I didn't realize, like, that was my tribe until I was, like, graduated. But, like, no, it's like, I went to a lot of, like, church dances growing up. So, like, when I was, like, a senior, junior, like, I started trying to get out of my shell. Like my first time I went to a party in high school was because my mom was angry at me. And she heard that like my cousin was going to a party. She's like, you're going to go to a party and you're going to like it. I'm going to pick you up in 5 hours. And she just dropped me off at this Halloween party. Like I was super antisocial, but then I started like making friends and they all liked to dance. And you know, kind of have to like fake it till you make it. Like I used to be super embarrassed about dances. And then I had to like go completely over the top, you know, like, okay. Like, I'm not comfortable with swaying, but if I just go crazy and shake my butt and, like, do the worm and do some splits, like, at least I can pretend. And eventually the confidence will follow, and that's kind of how it's, you know, happened.
Nice, nice. Being the performer that you are, all your UFC fights have been in the UFC Apex. Am I correct?
I believe. Yeah. Right. Yep.
You need a crowd. The Monkey King demands subjects, right?
For sure. Like my walkouts, like I'm a vibe. I'm so like pumped when I walk out there. Like I walked out to All-Star and like all 20 people there are going crazy. And I'm like, and I was like doing that. I was like, imagine if I had like 20,000 people singing this song with me, it would have been awesome. Like
Jordan, they should have you walk in. And when the music starts, the lights just shut off, laser beams come up, fireworks come up, and the works. Like Jordan, you're a show in itself.
Like that's part of like the performance. Like I stress out about my walkout song more than I stress out about the fight. I'm like, what's gonna put me in the right mindset? What's gonna be funny? What's gonna make me like have a good time? Like my first fight, I walked out to Big Balls by AC/DC, and I just remember Megan Ollie like counting me down like 3, 2, what the hell is that song? And I'm like, everyone's just laughing, you know. I walk into the Apex and like
you know what I want you to do, and I keep waiting for a fighter to do it, and you're the guy to do it. You know when Megan is like doing her speech and then the fighter kind of walks out behind her? like, you know, like she's kind of there and then the camera kind of pans out. I feel like you're the guy that could take a second to like goof on her or something. Like, I'm so surprised that all the fighters just walk right by her.
Right? Such a missed opportunity. She's such a, you know, I mean, what's she going to do? We're on national television. She can't flip out. May as well do something weird.
Yeah.
Like Trey, like my opponent, he walked behind her. Or was it like either her or Laura? Didn't do anything. I'm like, that's boring. Maybe that's why they don't put them in front of me. They knew I'd do something strange.
Yeah, but if you ever get the chance, Jordan, I want you to do that because you'll be the first guy that does that. I feel like everybody's just so focused. There's only a certain few fighters that like come out and are dancing and so loose, but you're one of them, man. You could do it. You could do something.
I know. I'm going to do something like that one of these days, and then they're going to. They're going to punish me, but it'll be worth it.
No, Jordan, you know what? You should get the UFC to finally invest in an aerial shot. Because I've seen you, you know, when did the air, you know, you did the dirty dancing.
Dirty dancing.
You should have you like spinning upside down and have an angle of you this way, right? Just spinning.
Right?
Like, right? I think that's the best way to go.
One thing I really liked about this one, so like I always do weird things after my fights. And this time they had our cameraman right on me. As soon as the fight was over, he just followed me around. I was like, ah. They're learning, you know.
They know. And DC's commentary on it. Have you seen? There's a YouTube video where they did a remix and they made it. So that DC is singing.
Down low. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. It's so good. Okay, but suffice it to say, you want a crowd, right? We got to get you in front of a crowd.
I think so. So I used to not like the crowds because I was always like traveling to people's hometowns and beating these guys. No one would fight me. Suckers. So people always boo me or like throw like a slushy at me. So like I hated that. I hated the crowds because people are ridiculous. Okay, when like you're fighting like their cousin. So now that I'm like I'm the protagonist in these stories now.
Yeah.
It might be nice to have a crowd of people like chanting my nickname and stuff. That would be awesome. You know.
Yeah, man.
And like, I'm not gonna fight.
Yeah, and in those small towns, that fighter is everybody's cousin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. Monkey King, I have to ask you, are you upset that there is a monkey god? Do you know that there is a fighter?
Yeah. Jared Brooks. So as soon as I got to the UFC, I was like, oh, you copied this nickname. And I was like, who is this guy? You know, because he's a little dude. And, you know,
small. Yeah.
And he's a flyaway. He's very, very, very good. But I had no idea who he was. Everyone was always saying, like, oh, you're a copycat, this, this, and this. And I'm like, I don't even know this guy. Yeah. And he got robbed against Figueiredo. He's an amazing fighter. But, I mean, I'm a little frustrated. But my nickname really feels like – I feel like it matches my personality. And I'm not quite sure the reasoning behind his choice of the nickname or if he – you know, someone else gave it to him. But I feel like I embody the Monkey King a lot. And, he's pretty cool. But, you know, I think I'm the real Monkey King.
And your Monkey King, just so people know, and I know we're running out of time, but your Monkey King moniker is from the Forbidden Kingdom movie, right? With Jet Li and Jackie Chan?
I keep
telling my wife to watch that movie because she sees the cover art and she's like, are you crazy? This looks stupid. And I'm like, this is a good movie.
Especially as Kung Fu movies go, they're all usually pretty bad. Forbidden Kingdom's a really good one. I remember watching that with my friends in middle school. They're like, oh my gosh, that's you. You know, like, we all like, used to like fight in the auditorium and stuff. I'm like, that is me. I am the Monkey King, you know? So it kind of stuck since then. So,
no, I love it. I love the name. I love that. Last question I kind of want to ask you. You said something very thought provoking, and I thought I would ask you. So you said at one point, we only regret the things that we never did. And so I do want to ask you before we go, is there anything that you have regrets for?
Is there anything I have regrets for? No, I don't.
Nice.
I'm really happy with all the choices I've made. I mean, there are some people I wish I never dated, but besides that, like no regrets, you know, I'm super satisfied and happy where I'm at now. You know, like I have stable income. My family's kind of starting to be proud of me, you know, like I have a beautiful baby. I haven't been hurt yet. And like, I haven't been hurt in any of my fights. Like I've only had 6 stitches ever. It's from a headbutt. Like I'm really satisfied. You know, I feel like I've always just wanted to be happy. And when I was going to school, I was going to go to law school and everything. Like it was all so I could have enough income so that way I could spend time with my family and be happy. And like, I got to accomplish like the one real dream I've really had, which is like make it to the UFC. And I'm doing surprisingly good at it from where I started. And I'm happy. I've always just wanted to be happy. And, you know, like, I have no regrets. Like, because
Jordan, don't forget the fact that you can do a perfectly good split. Like, your split is top notch, man. Come on. Like, not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, you know, I've been working on my flexibility for a long time, and you know, I have a flexibility coach, like PJ May, the flexibility maestro. Like, he's helping me level up every camp. Yeah,
that's awesome.
A lot of good things going for me.
That's really good. But like, see, this is the kind of guy that we love having on the podcast. And you forgot to say your other regret would have been never being on the Fight Insight podcast. But that's fine. You're on here now, so that's check marked off.
Earlier.
Yeah, I'm glad that you know that you have such a good life, and I'm glad that you're happy. Like, this is such a beautiful story that you're portraying, and I'm really happy for it. I do want to ask you one thing before you go. We've put this on our Instagram, and it's something that we've kind of proposed, and we're seeing what the community feels like. And I wanted to ask a UFC fighter. I'm thinking, no more bonus for you. Main event fighters no longer eligible to receive bonuses. The reason I'm saying that is, they're already kind of in that spotlight. They already get that. Maybe they're getting good pay at that point. They've got a reason to win. Like, they've got that added reason to win, their main event. This would open up an extra 50, sometimes 100K for the fighters on the undercard. What do you think about this, Jordan?
No, I've been saying that for like a few years, actually. Like, how come no matter what McGregor does in his fights, he's going to get a bonus? Like,
dude, this is what I'm saying.
You don't need 50K. Like, you get your leg snapped, that's five of the night. That doesn't count, you know? Like, what do you mean? I definitely think if you're going to make, like, $600,000 and then someone on the undercard to make $12,000, like, no, you're out of the raffle, you know? Like, I feel like a lot of the times, like, it's not the fighter who actually has the best performance, the fighter who's the most well-known, who, you know, who's going to get it, and it's frustrating. Like, I didn't get a bonus for my inverted triangle. I don't understand that.
Exactly. And Jordan, I think on that night, I think if I'm not mistaken, that the main event got a performance of the night on that one too, that night, if I'm not mistaken. But I do notice this, Jordan. I notice a lot of times the main event will either get the fight of the night or the winner gets performance. And I'm like, wait a second, this guy, this girl, they're already making the million. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't need that. Let's just, all right, Jordan. But you, I notice how you try to take claim for my idea here, but that's okay.
Yeah, man, I remember posting about that on Reddit 3 years ago. You must have saw you know.
I've never had Reddit before. Never.
Copyright infringement happening on the show, baby.
Jordan, we love you, man. Before we let you go, is there anything that you want to say to fans, viewers, and listeners?
Well, if you're watching this and you liked me and you like my vibe, come be a part of the circus. Come follow my journey. I think it'll be a fun ride. And if you don't want to follow it, you know, you'll come to it eventually. You'll hop on the bandwagon eventually, and I'll be waiting.
Jordan, thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to meet you. We really do hope that we can have you on the podcast again. We will be following your success, man. All the best to you.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good luck. All right. Take care, buddy.
See you later, man. Take care. Thank you. Magic, Prince, we're back. That was a wicked interview with Jordan Levitt.
Movie magic, baby.
How did you like it with Jordan?
Jordan's such a nice guy, man. That guy's so solid, like such a humble dude. Like,
I know.
You know, there's so many times we've had people on the podcast where we just want an air hug, like a video hug.
Yeah.
But you know what? Before we start, actually, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, Tim's got the Ray-Bans on, like
my Bilal Muhammad glasses, but it's not okay. And today is May the 4th, so happy. So May the 4th be
with you.
It's not because of Bilal and my love for Bilal. It's not because of the wicked meme that I created today for Bilal. But it's because I had to get my eyes checked out. I think when I was sparring, I may have got hit a little bit. And I swear it wasn't a hard hit, but I swear it might have touched my eyeball. And I felt, and I like with a boxing glove, and I felt like my vision kind of got a little bit blurry or funny. And then so I went to the eye doctor today to check to make sure that I didn't have my retina torn, because I thought, goddamn coincidence, we just had the girl on that had her retina detachment, Janae Harding.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell are the odds that I would have the same thing? But anyways, I don't have that. But they put in so many drops that my pupils are like, I look like Sailor Moon, you know? Like my eyes are just big black balls, man. So I can't see anything. I'm blind as hell. And everything is giving me a headache. So I have to wear my Bilal Muhammad sunglasses for today's podcast. Prince, next week on the podcast, I do want to announce, I'm very excited for this guest, because this is a guy that I've been looking at online for a long time, not in a sexual way, but he is at official.bigmo. He's called Big Mo Cody Momertz. Mm-hmm. He's a announcer. He's a ring announcer. Mm-hmm. He does the ring announcing for BYB, which is, I don't even know what that stands for, but it's backyard brawls. Like it's the old Kimbo Slice kind of thing. And I swear it's run by like Data 5000. Anyways, wicked cool guy, man. And we're going to have him on the podcast next week. So very excited.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be cool, because now we have two announcers. We're going to have him.
I know.
Our podcast. So it's going to be good.
Might even yes.
Controls, right?
I know. It would be cool, man. For our sponsors, I do want to say thank you, as always, to Midday Squares. They're such great people for us, and their product is amazing. So do check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15%. It's a chocolate bar that's like functional. It keeps you satiated, and then it's not as bad for you as a chocolate bar. So if you're terrible in diet, then this is the thing to get. So go to middaysquares.com. Check them out.
Mm-hmm. And also shout out to Hula Cleaning Services. Contact Hula Cleaning Services for other carpet, fitness, commercial, construction cleaning needs. You can check them out at www.hulacleaning.com.
Yeah, and that's Hula, H-U-L-A.
Hula.
Hula. And our clean hit of the week, Prince, the last one, it's like up to 20,000 views. So that's pretty wicked.
Yeah, and it, you know what? We switched it up a little bit, because it wasn't really a clean knockout, but it was a solid.
A bunch of brutal shots. Dude, that that card last week with Chito Vera, mm-hmm. amazing, man. That fight was crazy. Dude did not, he got hit 100 times like in the first couple of rounds, and he looks perfect. Like he didn't take any damage. I don't know what's wrong with this guy.
Well, did you see Font's face? Like the
oh,
so, my gosh, man.
Gross.
Like, okay, you know what? I was going to ask you, Tim, what do you think? Do you think that should have been stopped a lot earlier?
No, his corner, there was a point where his cornerman, I think maybe before the fifth or maybe before the fourth, where the cornerman mm-hmm. says, are you okay? Are you okay? And the way they're saying it, you know that they're saying to Rob Font, do you want to continue? But they're not saying yeah. that. They're just saying, are you okay? And he goes, yes, I'm good. Yes, I'm good. So his corner was giving him the option.
Yeah.
I don't think it was to the point where the corner needed to stop it. I mean, his face was just getting puffy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was taking terribly bad shots or, you know, I think it was okay. I think it was okay that he continued.
Yeah, there was, well, I mean, the second knockdown when he got dropped with that knee, I kind of was like, oh, man, like.
Knee to the face?
That was a knee to the face. Mm. And there was, a third one where he got nailed with a swing kick. Got my head kicked to the top.
Oh yeah, I was arguing with a guy online, and I'm trying to get Beast Boy Chris Barnett to answer. We were trying to argue like what kind of kick that was, like what kind of hit that was, because I said it was like a hook kick.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he hits him with the heel to the side of the head.
Yeah,
and this other guy is going, no, that's a side kick, and I'm like, no, a side kick is like where you come in with the palm of the foot.
Yeah,
and then I said, okay, well, it's almost like it's a reverse question mark kick, because whereas a question mark you normally look like you're coming low and then come around high, came the opposite way. So I'm like, yeah. I don't know, man. It was beautiful though. Chito Vera, what a monster. And Andre Arlovsky,
oh wow,
what the hell is wrong with this guy? You know what I found out? Found out that his contract pays him $300,000 a fight, win or lose. I'm almost positive on this.
You know what? I mean, the guy's been fighting in the UFC for so long. Why not? He's a legend. For him to just be standing there and still giving it his 110%, you should be giving him that amount of money.
No, but that's the thing, though. So the guy's getting $300,000, win or lose. And if this is true, he's still out there putting on great performances and friggin' beating guys. Like, dude, he could just sit there, lie down, and collect $300,000. But no, he goes to war against these heavyweights.
And there's no stopping him, too. Like, I was talking about Larry on Facebook, and he was saying that, you know, before he was so aggressive, so it was almost like careless the way he would charge people. Now he's just like, you know, he's more tamed, he's more calm, he has a game plan, he sticks to it.
Friggin' amazing. Amazing. Prince, friends of the podcast update. I have a couple here. May 14th, that's just around the corner, our buddy Trap Gambino is fighting at the High Rollers Celebrity Open. This is a jiu-jitsu competition. This is where our old guest of the podcast, Jake Shields, he does a lot with High Rollers. It's like a weed thing, right? Like, that's what high means. Mm-hmm. So it's a weed thing. And anyways, he's fighting in a celebrity match against Brandon Bowen. Does that name mean anything to you?
I've never heard of the man.
Okay, I can't hear you at all.
I've never heard of the man.
Okay, I looked it up. I think he's like this little fat kid that used to do Vines. You know when Vines was a thing?
So, yeah.
He's like a YouTube kid or something like that.
Influencer type of?
Yeah, like an influencer kid. But like, he was doing it like when he was a kid. Like, it looked like he was like 10 or 11 years old making Vines that were really popular. So anyways, Trap Gambino fights May 14th in a celebrity open. So always we wish him all the best, man. We love that guy. We can't wait to have him back. We hope that he gets another MMA fight for sure. But in the meantime, go win a bunch of pot. Congratulations. That's awesome. Then the next one, I have to say, this was leaked yesterday or the day before with a whole bunch of fights that got leaked. But our buddy, Brian Bam Bam Barberena, gets the match of the century against Prince
Rob the Lawler, baby.
What did you call him?
The Lawler.
Oh, yeah. What was the first name you said?
Lawler.
Oh, I thought you said Bob Lawler.
No.
Robbie, ruthless Robbie Lawler. Man, dude, that's a legend versus legend match again. Bam Bam has really no worry that Lawler is going to take him down. I mean, this is going to be a stand-up war. Holy crap, what a fight.
I, man, when I found out yesterday, I messaged him right away. I was like, dude, congratulations, man. This is, can you imagine he takes it?
Yeah. He takes that fight for sure. Even people that I normally talk to that sometimes doubt Bam Bam, they were messaging me, knowing how much of a fan I am of his and a friend of his, and they were like, Bam Bam takes this. Like, this is a good fight for Bam Bam. Like, this, I feel like he's got Lawler's number on this one. Like, I feel he'll take out Lawler for sure. Yeah.
I think it's Bam Bam's redemption. Like, this
What do you mean? Not a redemption. This is the first time they fought, and Bam Bam's on a winning streak. I mean, now
it's Bam Bam's enough steam. Right. So,
the only thing I'm worried about for this fight for Bam Bam is that he may not get fight of the night or performance of the night. And the only reason I'm saying that is because the friggin' card, I'm gonna put up a little. Can you see this? My eyes cannot see this at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can you read out? These are the card. This is the fights on the same card as Bam Bam. His fight is just below where I've cut off the thing. So what are the fights here? And this is July 2nd. This is International Fight Week. What are the fights?
You got Adesanya and Cannonier.
Yeah. Adesanya versus Cannonier.
What's Kazmat the next one? Kazmat and Nate Diaz.
Hamzat versus Nate Diaz. That's insane. Diaz will be dead.
Oh, next my fight? Gosh. Strickland and Pereira.
Yeah. Wow. Strickland versus Pereira. That's disgusting.
Murphy versus Tate.
Misha Tate against Bam Bam's good friend, Lauren Murphy, who, Prince, we are promised is coming on the podcast. before this fight. So we are definitely going to work our asses off to get Lucky Lauren Murphy on. And then the next one?
Munoz and O'Malley.
Oh, Pedro Munoz versus Sugar Sean O'Malley. Yeah.
Holy That's, crap.
What kind of card is this? And then right below that one is Lawler versus Barbarena. So, oh boy. That's a good stacked card. So I just worry that Bam Bam won't get an extra 50K. So we will have to really encourage Bam to, you know, pull out the spinning sidekicks and hook kicks.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta put on a show.
I want to see all the smack talk that's going to come out of that card.
Amazing, man. That's going to be a great card. So congratulations to Bam on booking that fight. That's huge for you, buddy. And congratulations to Trap Gambino on getting a fight as well. So happy for that. Prince, on the interview that we did with Monkey King, we talked briefly about this.
No more bonus for you.
No more bonus for you. And of course, Prince, that weekend, so which was last weekend, the Chito Vera fight, the main event wins the fight of the night. And so, and then not only that, but Rob Font is ineligible because he missed weight.
Yep, 2 pounds.
And someone told me that then that means Chito gets all 100 grand. That can't be right. I feel like that's not right. But anyways, even if he takes the 50 G's, it's exactly what we talked about it. Now, did Chito deserve it? Of course. Mm-hmm. But that's not what our thing is about. Our thing is saying like, hey, these guys are already main event. He's already top 10. Like, I'm sure he's being compensated well.
Yeah.
The Monkey King agrees. He tried to steal my idea, Prince. I was very mad. Right?
Yeah.
But Prince, we didn't talk too much to you about this. So what do you think about that idea?
Yeah. You know what? We gotta share the wealth, man. Like, you gotta, with these bonuses, like, everyone underneath is already, you know, barely getting by, trying to, you know, make ends meet. Like, you know what I mean? Just, mm-hmm. You know, I think it should stay within the preliminaries. Like, within the preliminaries, the bonus should go to them.
No, hold on. Main card, but just not the main event.
Yeah.
No, you can't say main card. Main card, there's a lot of people that don't make money. Think about Chris Moutinho. Former guest of the podcast. I mean, he got put on a main card immediately.
But the prelims, though, like, come on. Like, you know, I for me, to kick it up a notch, it should really go to the prelims. Anyone who fights in the prelims should get the bonus tonight. And you know they will.
Yeah. Well, those guys are busting their ass to get onto the main card in the future. You know what you could do? You could take the 50 Gs or the 100 Gs or whatever off the main card. I like this idea. Split it up into 10 G amounts and just sprinkle it all around in the prelims, right? Like, that would give you so many more people, and 10 G's is still a lot to a bunch of people.
Hey guys, this is a very Canadian way of
share the wealth.
This is very right in the middle. Let's share the wealth. Let's share the love. This is how we do with things, right?
I thought you were commenting on how we're becoming communists, but yeah, okay, fine. Anyways, it's interesting though. We got to keep an eye on the next few cards to see if the main event keeps sucking up that 50K, right? Because remember I was saying like, oh, we should keep stats on this. What we should do is just on this podcast alone, keep track starting last event. Okay, last event, the main event took 100K of the 200K normally available, right? Two performances and one fight of the night. Mm-hmm. So they've already taken 100K on the first event alone. So let's just see moving forward, and we'll just keep a running tally.
Yeah, you know, and then we're going to send the fight of the night report over to Dana White and say, yeah. Hey, explain this.
Yeah.
Can you explain this? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Or if any of our fans want to go back and start, you know, gathering some data for us on like cards, even just from 2022 onwards.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure this out. But yeah, I don't like it, man. I don't like it. All right, Prince ED, we have lots to talk about, but to keep this podcast short before I permanently lose my vision, UFC 274, Prince, pull up the card. Let's take a look. I am going to show the fight poster from our good friends at MMA Social Squad. Boom. Prince, this is the best poster they've ever done. I know I say that almost every time, but look at the screen. Look at that.
Yeah, amazing.
Gorgeous.
Amazing. Look at that.
Right? I love it when they do the cartoon style.
Yeah.
And this one's got a mix of the cartoon style, the black and white.
Yep.
Really good shit, man. I like it. All right, Princey D. We've got tons of fights on the card. We got to start at the early prelims for this sucker. Because our good friend Lupi Godinez, Canadian-Mexican fighter, fighting at strawweight, which is her weight class, fights Ariane Carnalosi. Lupi Godinez, friend of the podcast, good luck to you. Kick ass.
Yeah, and she is fighting in
Second fight. So she'll be done. She'll be having dinner and showered and changed before the main card even starts.
That's it. And we've got Tracy Cortez.
It's interesting that you would call upon that fight, Prince. Why did you pick that one?
Straight guy. Mexican. She's also...
You're Filipino, but...
Okay.
Good. Okay, next. Tracy Cortez. Next. Actually, Prince, can I cut in here? I'm going to cut in here for a quick sec because on the leaked fights that I was showing for the Bam Bam, there was another card they leaked. Guess who was on there? Karolina Kowalkiewicz. We thought she was retired and done. She went up a weight class. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Her photos.
Yes.
She's coming back. Apparently she's fighting Felice Herrig.
What division would they be fighting in?
Well, Karolina, I don't know. She's fighting in a higher division, that's for sure.
Hot water.
Anyways, interesting about that. We'll talk about that. I'm sure I will get some photos for you, Prince. What else is on the prelims here? Anything else we want to talk about? Randy Rude Boy Brown, he's fighting. I like that guy. He's in the welterweight division. When Bam Bam was getting his next fight, I thought Bam Bam might be fighting Randy Brown. That's who I thought they might pair him up against. I thought that they would pair Bam Bam up against either Randy Brown or Max Payne Griffin.
Oh, man, that would have been nice.
Mm-hmm. I thought those were the two guys that I was looking at when I was looking at the rankings and stuff like that. I thought those were the guys. But anyways, they went with Lawler, which is way better. So
that would be a tough fight.
All right. You want to go to the main card?
Yeah, let's do it. Main card.
First fight on the main card, Prince. Let's call winners for all of these. We haven't done this in a while. Cowboy Cerrone versus Joe Lauzon.
Cowboy. And that's, I'm going to say, third round knockout. Head kick.
Yeah. I'm going to go Cowboy second round knockout. This is a tough one, man. Joe's going to be taking this to the ground as soon as possible, but Cowboy is slick. Lauzon is getting up there in age as well, so I don't know that he'll be able to take him down as easy. Okay. I'll go with Cowboy. Next fight. Holy jeez.
Right?
Speaking of legends.
Man, I was floored too. I was like, holy crap, he's still fighting?
You're like, wait, am I on UFC 74 instead of 274? Okay, Shogun Hua versus OSP, Ovin St. Preux. This is back at light heavyweight, which is better for OSP because I don't like him when he's at heavyweight. Prince, who do you got on this one?
You know, man, I hope they let him wear the bad boy shorts. Remember those bad boys?
Yeah.
I can't find mine. I was still trying to look for that, but
Shogun has two wins in his last five dating back to 2018. He has one draw. He's coming off a loss to Paul Craig, which is no small feat. He did, his last two wins are against Nogueira and Tyson Pedro, who just looked like a beast. Ovin St. Preux, what has he got? Ovin St. Preux is coming off two losses. He's lost five of his last seven. So OSP is definitely fighting for his job here. Who do you got, Prince?
This thing is definitely going to go to decision.
Yeah.
Man, okay, forget it. I'm gonna stick with my guns. I'm gonna stick with my fave. I'm gonna go with Shogun.
Yeah, Shogun by decision. I'm gonna say OSP is gonna win this by submission in the second round.
Yeah.
At some point, Shogun Hua has to just be too old, right? Like at some point, his mileage has to catch up. So I'm gonna say OSP takes it, and I hope he does, only for the sake that I want him to keep his job. Right, and I hope he does it in a good, spectacular fashion.
Yeah, let's see how old Rua is, anyways.
How old Shogun is?
Yeah, the man, 40
Shogun
years
old. Shogun is 86 years old.
Yes, like they're gonna, again, like I said,
no, he's 40 years old, man. How the hell is this guy still only 40 years old? Someone should check his birth certificate. Prince, next fight at lightweight. This is what we call the casket match. Chandler versus Ferguson. Prince, does Tony Ferguson have any chance in hell of winning this?
Man, like I really like Tony too.
Yeah, of course.
But man, even watching some of the UFC embedded too, like Chandler's looking good. And Chandler needs this. He needs a win.
Yeah, Chandler cannot lose.
He can't.
He's, what is he, 2-1 in the UFC, right?
Yeah,
2-1 in the UFC. He's coming off two losses to Oliveira and Gaethje.
Yeah.
Only beating Dan Hooker, who, no offense, but Dan Hooker has lost a lot.
Yeah.
He's 3-3 in his last six, going back to his Bellator days. Mm-hmm. For people that say, oh, well, he's fighting top competition. Yeah, that's because you put yourself in the position where you're supposed to come over and fight the top.
Yeah, but you've
lost 2 of 3, and Dan Hooker was not the top of the division. Like they kind of gave you that as a welcome part.
Yeah, it's a welcome to UFC package kind of thing. And yeah, I remember
like a swag bag.
That's it. When he came in, when he stepped in, and he got that knockout, everyone was just like, "Holy crap! That we've got there's a new sheriff. Yeah. Tell this guy's going to take it." And look, so he needs to beat. He needs to throw the kitchen sink at this man.
Okay, so your prediction, Prince.
Tony's still got a chin, man. So I say this.
No, he doesn't. No, Tony does not still have a chin. I mean, I hope he does. I love the guy. He's amazing. He's coming off three losses to Gaethje, Oliveira, and Dariush. TKO decision.
I say Chandler by decision.
Chandler by decision. I say Chandler by knockout in the first. I don't think Chandler even lets Ferguson get warmed up.
The odds are plus 310.
Ooh. Wait, plus 310 for Tony.
For Tony.
So if we bet, oh, right. So if we bet $100, we win 310. That's almost Aljo odds. Right? That's almost as crazy as the Aljo odds, which is impressive because of how much the world thought Aljo was going to lose.
Yeah. And
that means that's how much the world thinks Tony's going to lose. Like, it's almost that bad. But we shall see.
We shall see. Yeah, you're right.
Gosh. All right. So we've both got Chandler. Now, Prince, here's where we get exciting. The fight that I've been calling for at least the last year is Rose versus Carla Part 2. Mm-hmm. Amazing fight, man.
Yep.
Prince, for the strawweight original, the OG champion, Carla Esparza. Can she do it? Will she beat Rose Namajunas? She's coming off 5 wins in a row. 2 bonus wins there over Verna Jandaroba, Alexa Grasso, Michelle Watterson, Marina Rodriguez, and Yan Xiaonan. Those are all top women in the strawweight division, Prince. Yep. Does Carla get it done, or does Rose Namajunas continue as champion?
You know what? I've gotten into a couple of fights with some of the people I know about this fight. I'm still going to go with my favorite. I'm going to say Carla. Carla's going to take it.
Really?
By submission.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man.
Carla by decision? 5-round decision?
No, sorry. Carla by submission.
Carla by submission in what round?
Second.
Oh, a quick night for the Cookie Monster.
The Cookie Monster is going to get it done. She's going to She knows Rose's game plan. She's not gonna stand up with her. We can get her down as soon as possible and just repeat.
All right, this, dude.
What do you think?
I've got Carla. I think Carla's gonna do it. I think, you know, when we look at like Cinderella stories and things like that, I think Carla Esparza winning this and coming back, you know, years from when she first won the title back in 2014.
Yep.
Right. So 8 years later comes, grinds her butt off, gets to a title contention to face the same person she beat and to take it. Oh, that's a Cinderella story. It will be so beautiful if she wins it. I got Carla winning. Did I already say? No. Third round stoppage.
Really?
Okay. I'm going to say third round stoppage. I don't think she submits her. I think she ground and pounds her out. Third round. Man, that'll be so exciting.
That would be so exciting, yes.
All right. What are the odds on that? What are the odds for Carla Esparza?
Plus 180.
Which is not even a lot, man. So, yeah, like that means people are kind of backing Carla, which I'm surprised at. Prince, main event time. My wife will not watch this. I showed her the meme I made for Gaethje.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait, Gaethje's fighting this weekend? I'm like, yeah, for the title. She's like, I'm not watching that. Like, she's like, no way. This guy is too violent. Justin Gaethje takes on Charles Oliveira. Prince, big prediction time. Predict it to the T, please.
Okay. I say Justin, third round knockout.
Oh my God, Prince, I have the exact same call.
Are you serious?
That's my exact same. Yeah, that's really? Exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think he does it in the first because I think he's going to be a little bit jittery and he's going to, you know, take his time. And also Justin likes to pour on the punishment. So I think he's going to like wear Charles down. Damage, 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 leg kicks, calf kick.
Yep.
Body, body, head. Like, I think it's going to be a brutal fight, and I think Gaethje takes it in the third. Yeah. Oh, Prince, we're the same. Right. What are the odds of that?
Hey, listen.
That means it's going to happen for sure.
Whitman's got his night cut out for him, like, again.
Yeah. Now, that means you and I are both the same on the final two, which means we're both predicting and new times two.
Yep.
Right? We think that that both titles are going to change hands. So that's exciting. It's a great card. Prince, it's going to be a good one, man.
Yeah,
it's going to be pretty exciting.
This is going to be a very... I've actually been waiting for this for this card for so long. Just because there's so much in the line, right? So much.
Yeah, man. Huge, huge card with lots of great stories that will come out of this. I'm just most excited for Lupi. Honestly, before this podcast, I didn't realize Lupi was fighting. Her Instagram doesn't really show that too much. But anyways, I'm excited for her. Good luck to her. She's like such a favorite of ours. And yeah, man, we've got good stuff coming up on the podcast, Prince. So guys, if this is your first time seeing us because of Monkey King, thank you. Subscribe to us, follow along. There's tons of episodes in the back that you will definitely enjoy. Prince, anything that you want to say? Anything that you want to end off with? I have one thing that I want to say, which is more solemn, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, guys, don't forget to follow, subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram, listen to us on Spotify. Just a quick reminder so people know. Yeah.
The reminder from I just said it like 2 seconds ago.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I just wanted to make sure that they know. But you know what? Guys, so I forgot to mention
Nude. Yep. Right? Shout out to Nude. Yep.
Some little bit of day drinking, so a little bit of
It's like 6 o'clock.
Alcoholic beverage, so it's not bad. Yeah, actually it's 6 o'clock.
Six o'clock, it's fine. Prince, I do want to end off the podcast on a little bit of a solemn note. I do want to say that we lost our number one fan a couple weeks ago. So I did want to say it because Prince, this podcast is kind of like a outlet for us and stuff. Yeah. So our number one fan, my mother, she passed away a couple of weeks ago. So she was always following us and supporting us, Prince. I think she bought 3 t-shirts. So, you know, we really love her for that. She passed away a couple weeks ago. So just wanted to put that out there and, you know, say that we love her and that we're missing her.
Yeah, we love you so much, and you are our number one fan.
Yeah. So thank you, Prince, for everything, my friend.
Thank you, Timmy. Thank you for setting things up, setting up these amazing guests, and, you know, and also being you, man. You are an amazing guy. You and your, you know, Bilal Ray-Ban t-shirt, Ray-Bans.
Yes. You know, and I look terrible today. By the way, I look terrible because I'm wearing the tank top because of my stupid eyes and causing so much pain. I'm boiling hot, so I couldn't even wear a t-shirt. I had to wear my tank top. So that's why it looks like I'm wearing like a low-cut blouse today.
Yeah, you know, I always notice. I'm like, oh, man, what kind of tee is that?
It's like a,
like a,
deep, it's a ladies deep V. Yeah. All right, buddy. Have a good one, man. Thank you so much. Sorry about the glasses and everything, but we'll have a great weekend of fights. We'll be back next week with Big Mo. This will be a very exciting podcast. Prince, don't try to take his job. Joe Martinez already tried to beat you up.
Well, listen, man. Like
Big Mo, me.
Big Mo, come on, guys. Just all I need is just one, like one gig. Give me one gig.
Look at you, this guy. This guy will kill you. All right, Prince. Have a good one, buddy. See you guys. Yeah.